Hello everyone, it's my pleasure to welcome Madhav Dabke, our Vice President, Industry Practice from the Banking and Financial Services team at Suntech, to talk a little bit about our pioneering journey to buy-in conformance and how we kind of, redefine the standards in that process. Buy-in, incidentally, is the acronym for Banking Industry Architecture Network, which is a global independent not-for-profit organization that was founded in 2008. So let's kick this off by just asking you, Madhav, can you briefly introduce yourself and share your background?
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Peter, for inviting me on this podcast. I'm delighted to share my experience about buy-in with our audience today. See, I was a business banker for over a decade, and then I transformed my role into a technology transformation consultant. Coming from hands-on banking experience, I could really empathize with bankers to know their real pain points, and that helped me to manage complex and multi-country digital transformations across geography. Now, see, be it a core banking transaction system or customer empowering solutions like e-banking or mobile banking or even SAP-like ERP systems, I was managing these product deliveries and product management for a desired outcomes in the industry with a very focused interventions and human-centered approaches, keeping as a key considerations. That Suntech, thanks for introduction. I head BFSI product line. To make our products more meaningful and adaptable by industry. And buy-in is one of the standard or a framework which is very significant to all of us in the industry, is also one of the area I manage in Suntech.
So can you help us understand the significance of this buy-in standard, and why is it so crucial, particularly for industry providers and technology providers like Suntech?
Certainly, Peter. The significance of buy-in standard for banking industry is multidimensional. I think it is important for a technology providers like us to understand for multiple reasons. Like you initially said, buy-in was founded in 2008, and it had a goal to establish a common framework for banking system architecture. Now, banks started adapting technology lately, and mostly by step by step. I'll give you an example. If you see how banking journey evolved on the technology front, it started with the automatic ledger posting initially. Then it went to the standalone branch automation, then moved on to the core banking transaction systems, then to internet banking, and so on. So today you will see there are multiple systems, multiple IT solutions that work in a banking landscape, and that banking landscape is becoming bigger and bigger, and it becoming more complex than anyone can imagine. Now, this entire complex IT landscape was getting contributed every now and then by multiple players coming in the market or multiple IT solution providers in the market. And that's exactly when buy-in recognized a need within the banking industry to start standardization and interoperability to address the challenges posted by this IT landscape. And customers are always demanding more and more, and banks becoming more customer-centric these days. Buy-in, while it started in 2008, they released their first standard framework in 2021. And since then, buy-in has constantly been evolving to bring more inclusive standards in entire organization. And that is why if you see the latest framework, which is Service Landscape Architecture 12.0, you can see more than 300 service landscape blocks are identified across function. Now, it is just not limited to the core banking function, but if you see, there are business enabling functions like corporate services, talent functions, even the building and premises, or business development function, risk function, you can name it. And those service domains are spread across, keeping banking as an enterprise or banking as an entire one single corporate unit. It means that when buy-in framework, when you start looking at it, it essentially is identifying a business service domain, a real framework or real world behaviors to model it for the service operations, or even the business events inside each those service business domain, and then model those business scenarios, wireframe them with standards to achieve the outcome. That's what buy-in brings onto the table. Now, with my years of experience, I can tell you that there is never going to be one product which will fulfill technology demands for each department or each business line within the banking organization. There will always be more than one application. There will always be more than one solution that will be needed in one or many functions to fulfill what they are looking at it from a business fulfillment perspective. And that means we will have several IT players who will continue to deliver the products and who will continue to build new solutions, while bank will continue to be a single entity or a single organization, and management is still going to be looking at technology providers for a cost optimization and bring more standards from their approach perspective. I will give you one point here. So buy-in is possible solution for that. People have been thinking around it. Now imagine every single service provider is becoming a buy-in confirming from the standard perspective, which is going to make interoperability easier. And now multiple service providers adapting to the standards, and bank as an organization also adapting to buy-in standards, is going to make the systems talking to each other or performing their end-to-end solutions makes it very, very easy, makes it much less complex, and makes it much faster than what it could typically take to bring multiple systems talk to each other. If I see, we have already started noticing that many of our clients, be it an early stage conversation, be it at RFP stage, or be it at a transformation stage, I think they are taking much more comfort when we discuss with them, and when they understand that our product, which is Accelerate, is also buy-in confirming product for us to offer in the market.
So now that we've established this, how did we at Suntech approach this alignment with the buy-in standard? And what were some of the key pillars that guided this entire process?
Peter, thanks for asking this question. This journey is overall very interesting. See, we have been member of buy-in for a while. Now, buy-in released their service landscape 11.0 on 23rd December 2022. I found it very interesting, and that's when we started actually getting deeper into buy-in understanding. January 23 is when we started looking at buy-in confirmance and how do we get ourselves confirming to the buy-in standards. Now, the first thing what we had to do was to understand the buy-in framework itself. It is wide, it is vast, and it is, I wouldn't call it as complex, but it is very intricate to understand what that framework offers to as standards. Now, their design principle, their models, their each building block, what that each building block means to product like ours. So this took some time for us, and that was one of the top tough jobs when we were looking at adapting this global standard. We were trying to see which portion of the all building blocks is much more meaningful for us, where we are not a core banking transaction system, or we are not the sole or major system in the bank, but we are still one of the key system which manage major revenues for the bank. So we may be small in size in landscape, but we manage a lot of important function in the bank. Now, once we understood that each of the business area, each of the business service domain, now in little technical terms, buy-in talks something like a behavior qualifier, so it talks about the building blocks and so on. Their specifications, we went, started breaking it down and decided our boundaries in terms of how we want to map that standards to our solution. The next step what we did is look at each building block in our own product, translate them and start mapping them to the buy-in standards and each of the service domain block buy-in framework offers. Next few days, we literally went to the smallest level of component in our product, smallest level of component buy-in offers in their framework. We evaluated it, and if we find that if it was aligning with buy-in standards, we started going back into the buy-in discussions. Now, buy-in interestingly has multiple working groups. So one of the working group is called a Bayan Product Certification Working Group. We are a member of that group. Okay. And I think I must mention it here that Bayan Chief Architect, who is also head of that working group, and there are a few other members, they helped us multiple ways. Every single week, we used to have a conversation with them. We used to clarify our doubts. We used to present our view on how mapping was happening and how we interpreting the framework and how are we mapping it to our product. What are our suggestions on the approach and even validate our findings. And finally, this whole journey helped us to assess and to confirm to the Bayan Bayan standards. I must mention it, and I think it is a lot of pleasure for all of us to say that Accelerate was the first product to achieve conformance on Bayan Service Landscape 11.0 last year. But Bayan is constantly evolving. They have already released the next version of framework. And as a matter of fact, that we are also confirming to the latest standard, which is called Bayan Service Landscape 12.0. I think that's how our journey has been on this Bayan conformance, and it's very exciting.
One phrase that kind of stood out in the report was the concept of composable architecture. Now, can you explain a little more about what this means and how it relates to the framework?
If you see from an architecture principles, composable architecture typically refers to an approach in a software and system design where complex systems are built by composing smaller, independent, and a reusable components. So when you see this as together, each of these components are designed to interact with each other through a well-defined interfaces or APIs, or there could be other mechanism to talk to each other, but it allows a great flexibility. It allows a scalability. It allows a lot easier in terms of maintenance. And that's what the composable architecture means from a software development perspective or from a software product perspective. Now, in the context of banking industry, architecture network is what we call it as, provides a standardized framework for this composable architecture, specifically tailored keeping banking industry in the mind or banking systems in the mind. Now, this Bayan framework defines a set of standard business capabilities. It has defined standard service domains. It has given the specifications in terms of how a standard interface should look like and how banks can probably enable their interfaces and the solution providers' interfaces to effectively compose and integrate with multiple applications within the larger landscape and within the system. Now, by adhering to these Bayan standards, a bank can actually create a much more modular, much more interoperable, and an agile IT landscape. It facilitates in the easier integration, as I said. Even though it is some of the solutions are on new technology, some of them are on emerging technology. There are products, there are services, which makes the whole banking system work. It becomes easier to talk to each other when adapting to this composable architecture kind of thing. Now, if I want to just summarize this, composable architecture and Bayan frameworks are closely related to banking industry, and that is why they empathize more with the specific banking needs rather than generally talking about architecture principles. They give an emphasis on the modular design, the interfaces which can be standardly consumed by banks as a consumer and by service providers as the offering partner. And it enables bank to build and evolve their IT infrastructure much more effectively and much more efficiently managed.